Blog Talk Radio.
The migrants who come here from Mexico, South America, aren't coming here to become citizens. They're not down at the immigration and naturalization offices to apply for citizenship. They're coming here to find work so they can earn some money to send back to their families in their native countries. And it was an interesting thing on ABC last night, ABC News, where there is a reverse migration that Mexicans who have left even fancy homes down in Mexico are returning to Mexico and reclaiming their property, that things are changing down there. So, this is part of the agenda, that they've got to be deceived in order to get these people American citizenship so they can vote, so they can sit on juries. So this is another scandal that's in the offing. And it's all very Machiavellian. They're not doing these people any favors. And as Colonel Hodges, Trevor Hodges, who served in the British Army at Gallipoli and on the Battle of the Somme, after the First World War, he immigrated to the United States and said, "I came here to be an American, not an English American." We'll play that clip another day. Now, among the birthdays today, in 1469, Niccolò Machiavelli, who's famous for his one book, The Prince. And this is a political primer for politicians, political facilitators, and rulers. And it's quite a book, and it's something that smart politicians and statesmen and operatives read and reread so they get his messages just as relevant as it was when he wrote it back in the 15th century as it is today in the 21st century. Believe it or not, there was a Portuguese king, João II, in 1455, after Isabella and Ferdinand kicked out the Jews, he welcomed them next door. Later, Portugal had one of the worst inquisitions and was the last country to end its inquisition, and also Brazil. Quite interesting. Of course, Brazil was a Portuguese territory in South America. If you like Gilbert and Sullivan, the guy whose theater they performed, composed and performed these operas, like the Mikado, Richard Doyle Carte, born in 1844. great Russian composer. He's not that well known. He was a teacher also and the father of Alexander, Nikolai Cherepin. He was the father of Alexander Cherepin, who married a Chinese woman, Ming, who was my piano teacher for 1 year at music school. Do you like perfume? Well, François Coty was born on this day. One of the great Hungarian Jewish movie directors, part of that family, Zoltán Korda, who was the father of Alexander Korda, who did Henry VIII and many great films of the 30s. One of the he was considered by some to be an Indian patriot. He was very radical and left-wing. Krishna Menon was part of the whole Nehru crowd back in the 60s and into the 70s. And a woman who was a school teacher in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, later went to Israel and became prime minister, Golda Meir, born on this day. A great Viennese, I think he was Jewish, heritage, I don't know if he practiced, Walter Slezak. He also performed opera. He was born in Vienna on this day. Bing Crosby, or Harry Lillis Crosby. It's not well known, but Bing Crosby was the first radio personality to pre-record his radio shows. One time he came into the studio, he was dead drunk, this was not a TV broadcast, and he vomited into the microphone, and of course, they immediately switched to good technicians, engineers, know how to deal with these type of situations. For instance, when the great Arturo Toscanini, near the end of his life in 1954, I think it was, Toscanini knew many scores, and he conducted from memory. Well, his memory went blank, and the musicians in the NBC Symphony Orchestra didn't know what to do. So the engineer in the booth immediately switched to a program. They didn't say what had happened. And Arturo Toscanini retired after that. One of the great composers, he was a composer, played piano and the cello, studied cello, but more famously, he was a great conductor and premier of many works. Mary Astor, did you see her in The Maltese Falcon with Humphrey Bogart? She was the duplicitous woman. And Pete Seeger, great folk singer, unfortunately, he was a communist. It's his birthday today. He was called before the House Un-American Activities Committee. He was a longtime communist, somebody out of the 30s, and there were many Americans in the Depression who were enticed into the Communist Party. Later they learned that it was just another feudal system. And we'll get into the guy who worked under Leventi Beria, who was the last really rough, brutal KGB, NKVD chief. And this guy, Sapovitov, I just got a book by him. And it's very interesting, some revelations about things, mysteries, such as the Wallenberg case and the Cotton Forest Massacre. Excuse me. That he really reveals what really happened and who was behind it. And a lot of people, Wallenberg was the Swedish financier from that famous Wallenberg, a banking family in Sweden. Sweden was neutral during World War II. Wallenberg went to Hungary to try to save as many Hungarian Jews as he could. He worked with Adolf Eichmann. And what happened when the Russians marched into Vienna, they, shall we say, took him into protective custody, sent him to Moscow. According to Sapovitov, Wallenberg was placed in a Lubyanka prison in a special section. They didn't execute people right away at Lubyanka. If you went to Lubyanka walking in, you were carried out. And Wallenberg was killed by an injection, and we'll get into that because a lot of people still today think that Wallenberg is still alive in Russia, but he isn't. His memory is alive, but he isn't. And then if you like pop music, a great black singer, Smokey Ray Robinson, was born on this day. And you remember Engelbert Humperdinck? That was his stage name. He wasn't related to the great Humperdinck, who wrote Hansel und Gretel and the Königskinder, Children of the King. It's a lesser-known opera of his. Well, Engelberg's real name was Arnold George Dorsey. He wasn't related to the Dorsey brothers. Among the deaths today, Great Irish patriot during the Easter Rebellion, an associate of Michael Collins. He's not well known, or his sacrifice is not well publicized. Patrick Pearse was executed by the British in 1916. The guy who claimed to be the heir to the throne of France, his name was Napoleon V. Bonaparte. He died in 1926. Great English actor, remember the Scarlet Pimpernel? He was in one of those. Great English actor named Leslie Howard. He died in a plane crash very young, in his late 40s or pushing 50. Died, I think, in a plane crash near Gibraltar in 1943. He is not related to Trevor Howard, I believe. The first transsexual known to the world, American, who was a serviceman. He went to Denmark, I think, in the very late 40s, 48, 49, became Christine Jurgensen. He died in 1984. And then the tap dancer who worked with Shirley Temple, George Murphy, he became a senator, and he died in 1989. Among the events today, we had 1455, the Jews fled Spain and went to Portugal. We had Columbus discovered Jamaica, and he called it St. Iago. I don't know if this is Iago in Othello. In 1765, the first U.S. medical college was set up in Philadelphia, and the guy who did it was John Morgan. I'm not related to the House of Morgan, I don't believe. In 1802, Washington, D.C. incorporated itself as a city, although D.C. means the District of Columbia. 1855, the first black lawyer was admitted to the Massachusetts State Bar. In 1851, a lot of people think this should happen again. San Francisco was nearly destroyed by a fire. Some people think because of all the corruption, the pedophilia, the pornography, the vote fraud, the federal grants programs, maladministration, dead people getting homeless assistance checks. San Francisco was nearly destroyed by a fire. Some people think it's coming again. And then the origin of the state tax didn't originate in Chicago, as some people thought, or Illinois, or New York, or California. In 1921, the first state sales tax was tacked on by the little state of West Virginia. In 1937, speaking of the South, Margaret Mitchell received the Pulitzer Prize for her one great book, Gone with the Wind. Still got that headache. Excuse me. Now, getting back to the Tea Party, I watched the Tea Party emerge, and I had a conversation with somebody, a Washington political cognoscenti, who thinks that the Tea Party has been taken over by the Rhinos or have been co-opted by the Rhinos. But the problem I have with the Tea Party is their lack of focus. All this yelling about the federal budget, which is a huge behemoth, instead of looking at the federal programs that come into the communities where there are Tea Party adherents, which I advise them early on, look at the programs that are coming into your individual community. Check to see who's receiving them. Are they qualified to receive these programs? Are they accounting for these programs? Are these programs necessary? And start dissecting the federal budget that way. You know, instead of yelling about the deficit and the federal budget, I mean, it doesn't make sense to a lot of people because there's so many facets to the behemoth of that federal budget. And so, as Tip O'Neill said, all politics is local, and a lot of these federal grants and programs are political. And they go to people of the Saul Alinsky adherents and the poverty pimps, the real estate racketeers, the pornographers, the pedophiles. And these people do exist, and these people do get federal funds, especially here on the West Coast. So that's my advice to them, if they want to be relevant. Otherwise, they're just going to go the way of the Know-Nothing Party, and some people think that the way they act now, they may as well be Know-Nothings. And the history of the Know-Nothings, that was an antebellum pre-Civil War party, which, when according to the folklore of the time, when they were asked what their political beliefs were, the people who were thought to be Know-Nothings, they always said, I know nothing. In essence, this is a kind of loose translation. Now, the economy, given how bad it is, there are people who are going to the thrift stores, like Goodwill, Salvation Army, some of the individual ones, and they're buying used socks and used underwear. Well, twice I was given a warning from two employees at two different major thrift stores about used clothing. The advice is you should wash it very well with one of those Oxy detergents, but don't put it on. People who, especially underwear and socks, and there are people who don't want to wear other people's underwear, even if it is washed. But that's your decision. Protect yourself. Ignorance is not bliss. What you don't know can hurt, harm, and cost you. So, you will see people throw at the end of the month or when they're moving or they're having street sales or garage sales, even if you're buying used clothing near or they're giving it to you, wash it very well. And make sure you dry it, of course. I said it's Machiavelli's birthday. Now, getting back to Bing Crosby, a lot of people don't know this, that I think I mentioned it, that he did early on in a radio show, wasn't a TV broadcast, he was drunk or was sick. He vomited all over the microphone. And, of course, the engineer switched to another program or another selection. And, of course, they did have the what we call in the can, pre-recordings of that Bing Crosby did. That may have saved his butt. Now, he married a young woman who became a Catholic. Bing Crosby was first married to Dixie Lee, and I understand he abused her. He had four sons who he didn't treat well, and so a couple of them became alcoholics. He married a woman named Catherine Grant, converted her to Roman Catholicism. They had one son, and I understand he is so cheap that, he inherited it. Bing's had a lot of money. And when he goes to the golf course, he doesn't want to pay the fee to use the clubhouse, so he changes in the parking lot. Some people are that way. I don't know if he's still doing that, but he was criticized for doing that. So I guess it's one of these things you're going to try to take it all with you. Next week, we're still working on we're going to be merging what we talk about on internet and with the video that we put up at Amicus Veritas YouTube, AmiCusVeritas. We have asked to do that. It makes more sense. And, of course, we have a lot of videos. And we'll have more interviews. I still have stuff in the can. I want to I'll be putting them up. A lot of this stuff is rare. You're not going to hear it anyplace else. I've been asked to offer it to some major archives other than it's in the original archive, the Carson Verzola archive. Excuse me. So we want to, share this with the world because a lot of this stuff is rare. For instance, the last survivor of Gallipoli, the last commanding general of the Bengal Lancers, which is still very relevant, as what Brigadier Engel used to say, the subcontinent. And some of he was there, he spent most of his life after he got out of Sandhurst. And he also went to Sandhurst, which was a military academy, what is Britain's West Point. And one of his classmates was David Niven. In fact, when World War II broke out, David Niven was in Hollywood. He went back to England to serve in the service, as they call it. So, a lot of history here and, of course, some rare anecdotal stuff, people like Mel Belli, how the San Francisco Giants ended up in San Francisco and became the San Francisco Giants, and how George Christopher, a little anecdote about him and Harry Truman. He liked Harry Truman. They were both blunt men, both self-made men. And one time Harry Truman, whose birthday is next week, incidentally, Harry Truman was flying out to San Francisco after he had left the White House, and the airline lost his luggage. So he was supposed to meet with George Christopher. So George Christopher jokingly said, "I had to give him some clothes. It's the first time that a Republican gave a Democrat the shirt off his back." So there are little anecdotal things like that. It was some of the fun that I've had gone. Now, people are concerned about the direction this country is going. And Will Rogers, I think, with a great sense of humor, but he had a point, and he talked about what's wrong with America, and this was relevant then as it is now. And I'll replay this again.
Dancing at a Dreisen Weber's restaurant in New York. And While the nation danced, one man watched it all and discussed the topics of the day. He was Will Rogers.
Now, folks, all I know is just what little news I read every day in the papers. Everybody's talking about what's the matter with this country and what the country needs. What this country needs worse than anything else is a place to park your car. What our big cities need is another orange in these orange aid stands. I'm off Ireland for home rule from now on. I read an Irish paper the other day and it says liquor is 18 cents a quart. Can you imagine a nation wanting more freedom than that?
Florence Ziegfeld kept bringing Will Rogers back to his follies year after year, and Rogers was a hit as usual. The year was 1914. By this time, the First World War had started. In England, they were singing It's a Long, Long Way to Tipperary. In America, they first sang I Didn't Raise My Boy to Be a Soldier, but that changed to I'm Proud to Be the Mother of a Soldier Boy by 1917. Oh, how I hate to get up in the morning. Katie and Hinky Dinky Polly Voo became pop hits. And Over There by George M. Cohan developed into an unofficial anthem, much as God Bless America did 25 years later. Lillian Russell, Douglas Fairbanks, Mary Pickford, William S. Hart, and Jack Dempsey sold war bonds. And thinking of more peaceful moments, Earl Carroll and Enrico Caruso wrote a song together called Dreams of Long Ago. And the great Caruso recorded it. Ending, John Wanamaker, as a department store in Philadelphia, transmitted phonograph record music to John Wanamaker's store in New York without the use of wires. It foretold the coming of a great new segment of showbiz radio.
Well, that was a little bit of Will Rogers, a little bit of Caruso, incidentally, during the San Francisco earthquake, which we just celebrated last month. Unfortunately, David Fowler died in September of 9-11. 9-11 in 2001. He was San Francisco's earthquake expert. He worked for FEMA. Also, he worked for just about every radio and TV station in San Francisco, and I worked with him at KLW FM. But anyway, Caruso was here during the San Francisco earthquake of 1906, and the next day he got up, got all his luggage together, said, I'm never coming back to San Francisco. The guy who started Bank of America, a guy named Giannini, was called the Bank of Italy, and what he did was he got all of his money, the depositors' money, put it in a carriage and with some strong horses and left San Francisco, and later came back and started what became the Bank of America, which is now a troubled bank, and was taken over, I think, by a North Carolina bank called Nations Bank, if I'm not mistaken. Now, they're doing things in San Francisco. There is the Manhattanization of the city. People who haven't been here, it was one of the most beautiful cities in America and in the world. A lot of people wanted to visit here. It was a small town of approximately 42 square miles. We have seven hills, and it had the cosmopolitan flavor of a sophisticated city, but it had a small town flavor, a small town feel to it. Now that's all changing. These huge buildings are being built on parking lots, gas station sites. There's an allegation, a credible allegation, that a housing project was built on a hill where there, this is no allegation, there are three streams under this hill, and also allegedly nuclear waste from the Manhattan Project was buried there. I've heard this from somebody in San Francisco Fire Department, as well as the San Francisco Health Department and other people. So we've got possibly our own Love Canal here in San Francisco. Also, they're building a subway through the San Francisco has one of its part of its geology is that it's a landfill, and they're building a subway through to Chinatown, billions of dollars of Chinese investment going into it, and now we find out that not only you can't trust the dog food coming from China, you can't trust the human food coming from China, you can't trust the steel that they are shipping over here for bolts, and we're finding out that the bolts they put in the new Bay Bridge are defective, and they can't take them out. So, and it's a good thing because if those bolts had given way, if we had an earthquake or there was a lot of traffic on that bridge and the bridge collapsed, what a catastrophe. And, of course, this is part of the corruption and influence peddling that's going on, has going on, and will continue to go on unless people say enough. We're going to be back Friday. Wait a minute, what's today? No, I'll be back Monday, excuse me. And so I'm losing my voice again. We have a change of weather. And so go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmicusVeritas. I have a clarification to be made on what happened at Trader Joe's. I talked to somebody else, talked to one of the managers, and they weren't quite sure why this guy went off and made all these racist statements as black youth. And, of course, we were worried, people were worried that he had a weapon and was going to go off and start shooting people and shooting up Trader Joe's and shooting Trader Joe. That didn't happen, thank heaven, from what I'm told. And so we'll put a clarification up in all fairness on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site. And we will be, we're still working on our other radio section. And you can download this stuff on iPod. And we will be going to our archives and bringing up more of the interviews that we have done that have significance and it's still relevant today. So we're going to end with our usual politics and poker. And maybe some of our politicians should play poker. Maybe we get some things done.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bet.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight. Possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet up.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Neither game's for children, neither game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
where to call the bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrace.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll fall.
I'm cold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try, Michael Fudjichinkovich.
I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out, I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen, and George is in jail.
Yeah, well, that didn't stop people from running for office and also from voting. We'll be back Monday at 4 p.m. And also next week is the anniversary of the end of World War II, also Harry Truman's birthday, and a few other things. So have a safe weekend. This is Peter Paul Verzola. Good night. And go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS.